720 WGN. It's Amy Guth in for John Williams here on the Business Lunch. Thanks so much for being with us today. Appreciate you. We're standing by any minute. We're going to go to President Trump's to a White House press briefing. Steve Bertrand is standing by in the newsroom. We'll take us there as soon as that goes live. But right now, we are joined by Paul Nolte, who is Senior Vice President of Kingsview Wealth Management. Hi, Paul. Welcome back to the program. Always nice to talk with you.
Nice to be with you again.
Certainly. Well, when we're talking wealth management, you always are on top of news. What is top of mind for you today?
The long weekend. And really, I think that's what is kind of running through the market right now. And part of the reason why it's trading a little nervous today is we've got 3 days of no trading activity. We may get some more news on the virus. We may get some more news on U.S.-China trade or lack thereof, and discussions going back and forth between the two countries. So the markets, I think, are just kind of hanging out. There's really not a lot of economic data between now and the end of the month. And then the following week, we get the unemployment number and we start the cycle all over again.
Indeed. Do you get the sense that, I thought it's very interesting, like how very reactive the markets have been over the last, especially the last month, I would say. It seems like the littlest drop of optimism really sends a surge. Do you feel like that's fading, this kind of the hope for a V-shaped recovery? Is that, are we going to see that kind of quickly triggered optimism in markets for a while? What's your take there?
Yeah, I'm not sure what letter we're going to be working on. The operative that we've been working on is the Nike swoosh. So down and gradual up. And I think, you know, and the markets, I think, have anticipated some of that. I think the markets are operating more on what the Fed has done for the financial markets and the backstopping and all the money that's going into the various Fed programs. So if you look at Wall Street, Wall Street is very close to all-time highs, within about 10% on the S&P. Main Street, not so much. Main Street still is, we're seeing a little hookup here, a little hookup there in some of the data points, but we're still way off of where we were at the end of the year. So there continues to be a big disconnect between Wall Street and Main Street, and I'm not quite sure how that gets resolved, but we did see that in 2009 coming out of that recession. Wall Street did very well, Main Street not as much.
What sectors of the market have you seen perform best right now?
It's been kind of the old standbys, certainly technology, and the bigger the tech name, the better it's performed, and healthcare, for obvious reasons. And those two are two of the largest by the sector weights within the S&P 500. So they really are driving the bus. If you start to look at some of the smaller cap names, mid-cap, small-cap, international, those markets have not performed nearly as well as the S&P, and the S&P has not performed nearly as well as the NASDAQ market, which is much more tech-heavy.
When we're hearing leadership talking about, I love the Nike swoosh that you said, and what letter we're going to be looking at for a recovery, I think that's really well put. But when we're hearing like Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell talking about, hey, you know, everybody kind of slow your roll, this may not be coming so fast. When we hear, you know, comments from Steve Mnuchin that sound one way and Powell that sound another, and various leadership, it seems like there's so many mixed messages. How do you, in your field, how do you decipher all that when you're making decisions?
Yeah, you know, you're right. Powell is talking one way, Mnuchin maybe another. But when you take a look at their actions and what are they doing, they're certainly putting a lot of money in the markets to backstop, provide liquidity, and in some cases, buying corporate debt. And so what they are doing is essentially backstopping the markets. And investors have sniffed that out and said, okay, if that's the case, and we're free to move about the country, and we're free to invest. And fundamentally, and that's where I was going with that Main Street-Wall Street division, earnings are not going to recover on the S&P 500 until probably 2 to 3 years from now. So we're not going to match the December 31 highs until probably 21, maybe 20, probably 22. And so it's going to take that time to go back to those old highs, yet the markets have already recovered. So the valuations on the very large U.S. companies are extended at this point and do not reflect, I don't think, the underlying economic situation right now. So I think there's a little more risk in the equity markets, I think, than what the averages would indicate. So we're playing along, but we've got one foot out the door as well. So if things start to look a little worse, we're ready to pull some money and put it into some shorter-term bonds here.
Outside of the travel industry, which I think, you know, I've been watching that very closely and just how impacted those airlines are. And when we're seeing, you know, even Warren Buffett saying, yeah, not so much on the airlines. Outside of that, what sector of the market are you most concerned with?
You know, the closer you are to the consumer, I think the more concerned you should be. So retail and more brick and mortar retail. You know, we saw JCPenney earlier this week declare bankruptcy. Macy's may be next by some accounts. Kohl's hasn't done as well. So the closer you are to the consumer, the worse off you are at this point, and depending on the consumer spending, because the consumer really isn't spending much at this point. So those would be the parts of the markets that I think are going to struggle for some time, because as you talk to people as well and say, okay, if we open up the economy tomorrow, are you going to go to XYZ store? Are you going to go to the museum? Are you going to go here or go there? A lot of people are saying, man, not so much. There's going to be plenty that will, and they'll fill the beaches and everything else over the weekend, but there's going to be a large segment of the population who's going to be like, not yet.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely going to happen. I totally agree with you. I think retail is going to be really interesting because here was a sector of industry that was already, I don't want to say limping along, but already certainly impacted by online and e-commerce retail, right? Amazon mm-hmm. was already kind of hitting Main Street in a lot of ways, and we were already seeing some of those concerns. And then this happens where stores are closed, some of them doing curbside pickup now, things like that. But I think it's going to be really interesting to watch when we're seeing like Neiman Marcus fold and, you know, some of those big names. You know, I don't know how that's going to shake out for retail.
No, and what this has done is it has really expedited that trend. You're right. We've been talking about for years the death by Amazon. As they get into a variety of lines and really have an impact in the brick and mortar. If you step back and take a look, though, at the United States in general, if you look at the square footage of retail in the United States per capita, we are by far and away the most stored region of the world. So we were due for some consolidation anyway. Certainly Amazon has helped that process. And I think, too, the pandemic has also speeded up that process so dramatically here.
Yeah, certainly. And I know a lot of some of the big box stores released some numbers. I was talking about those with John Williams yesterday about, you know, what are those earnings report looks like. I mean, I think earnings reports are infinitely fascinating because they kind of put a story together for you of what you can discern from this data. And it seems like a lot of it, like Home Depot and Target, did really well online, things like that. For as dependent as our GDP is on consumer spending, do you see with this prolonged recovery, does this shape or the various elements of our GDP, do you predict that might shift a little bit and we'd be less dependent on consumer spending?
It's going to be a gradual shift. It's not going to be a huge shift. Right now, we're about 70% consumer related in spending, 30% manufacturing. We're trying to bring some of that manufacturing back. But it took a long time for us to get to that 70-30 mix over the last 30, 40 years. It's going to take us a long time if we're serious about bringing onshore a lot of manufacturing. It's going to take us a long time to get the plants up and running and get things going in the United States. So maybe not over the next few quarters, but that's what I'm talking about. And part of the reason why we think that recovery is going to be a little bit slower is because the consumer is not going to be opening their wallet right away and running out and spending all kinds of money, even though they may have it. They've been saving it. But I don't think that recovery is going to be as quick as many are anticipating. And the longer we stay closed down, I think the harder it's going to be to recover.
Yeah, and I think that therein lies the rub with a lot of airlines who are sitting there going, okay, we can open and things can be officially, you know, quote unquote, reopened, but there's an element of consumer fear sitting there. And I was talking with an economics reporter about a week or two ago about this very topic of what did this recovery look like after 9/11 and how it's a... you know, there was certainly some consumer fear getting back on an aircraft after that, but in a very different way. This is something that looks a lot different than that. So it's a different kind of fear that I think could be like personalized in a different way.
True, and remember too what the theme was after 9/11. Go out and spend, go out and do the things that you were doing before so that the terrorists don't win. Now you're being told, be an American and stay inside.
Yep.
So, save a life, stay inside. So people take that to heart. And so that's part of the reason why it's going to be a much different type of recovery, because you have people now that have been instilled with some of that fear about going out, what happens to me if I go to the store? What happens if I go on a plane or go to the movie house or whatever it may be? Hence the reason that recovery is going to be much slower. And again, the longer we stay shut down, how many of those businesses are going to make it to the other side to where they can be profitable however we open up, or are they going to be permanently shuttered?
Yeah, I think that's the big question right now. So many unknowns. Well, I always appreciate talking with you. Paul Nolte, Senior VP, Kingsview Wealth Management. Thanks so much. Always a pleasure.
Enjoy the long weekend. Take care.
Thanks. You too. All right. We're going to take a little break. Back in just a bit. Again, we're waiting for a press briefing from the White House here to start just minutes from now. So back in just a bit here on 720 WGN. Amy Guth in for John Williams here during the business lunch. Again, we are waiting. We are standing by any moment expecting a press briefing from the White House, which we will be carrying live. We will go to that. We were just talking with Paul Nolte about market sectors, which I think is such an interesting topic, one I could just go on and on about. It's such an interesting one of how numbers really tell stories and about consumer behavior and how we're reacting to things. I mean, we were talking a little bit in the earlier hour about the travel sector. I've been thinking so much about airlines and Boeing, particularly, you know, here, we look at United a lot just because they're local. But I think the relationship there, you know, Boeing was already coming into this with a lot of issues and a lot of, a lot weighing on them. They had a lot of scandals on them and a lot of stuff going on. For a minute, this pause seemed like it was almost going to buy Boeing a little bit of time to get the grounded 737 MAX aircraft back, you know, back certified and back in the air, things like that. But here now we have such an impact on travel. I think it's going to be very, very interesting to see the recovery for each individual market sector, not just overall, but for each individual sector. Particularly, I think travel and technology will be fascinating to watch. You know, technology, because that's more or less holding us all together right now, in a sense that, you know, we're connecting with people because of technology, because of Zoom and things like that. We're able to connect right now. So I don't know. I know that's a topic that you and I were talking a little bit about, Steve Bertrand, about the travel part of this, that I really wonder what the phases will be for airlines.
Yeah, we all do. And I just don't know the answer to that. And they don't either. You know, you had the CEO of Boeing, Boeing last week or earlier this week, say that he thought a major airline would likely go bankrupt through all of this. And
that's right.
The American Airlines CEO kind of went after him for that. But there are so many unknowns right now about what's going to happen. You know, I tend to underreact to this stuff, and I've certainly been wrong many occasions on this already, but I do think that once this gets behind us, we're going to not forget it, but I don't know that we're going to change our lives as much as we might think we are right now. I mean, I think the phrase is a new normal. Okay, I'll get that, but I think it might be closer to the normal than a new normal.
I agree with you. I think some consumer behavior will change. I think some business behavior will change, but I've been resisting that the new normal phrase because it seems like
there's certain phrases that just I can't hear listen to them anymore, you know.
Yeah.
Uncertain times, new normal.
Yeah. Right. I know. I saw a workshop. It was like a writing workshop being advertised online the other day that said a writing workshop that will not use the phrase the new normal,
right.
Not use the phrase in these unprecedented times. Or
and I've certainly used it in my communications with my passengers, unprecedented times, and it's true, but I think we get kind of worn out with that. I think we're in a different situation, too, in that I'm out more than most people. I've been coming to work every day,
yeah.
So I'm used to being out and traveling and commuting to work, whereas a lot of people who haven't been may be a little more fearful. I don't know if that explains my situation or not, or my position, but I think that is true. You know, those of us who have been out traveling around, you know, it's been a very different experience than those who've been sort of afraid to leave their homes.
Yeah, I think another part of this, a lot of people that worked many jobs and did a lot of gigs and things like that, this felt like a downshift in a good way. I think that's like a part that's so under-discussed. I don't know, I could riff on that for hours. We got to take a break, but there's a lot here. Back in just a bit on 720 WGN.
Oh my God, turning on the news, it's COVID this, Corona that, but there are some stories you might have missed, and they're pretty damned entertaining. We've got them for you, plus the Carnival Wagon Rolls, Row Kind of 3.
WGN. At American Sale, we know it's been a tough time, but with summer upon us, our stores are open, and we know you're ready to start having fun. Our quality products have been bringing the fun home for over 60 years. And right now, during our Memorial Day sales event, you can save up to 50% and pay no interest for 4 years. Call us for details and fast delivery on pools, patio sets, grills, hot tubs, and more. At American Sale, we're open, so come visit us or visit us online. For 60 years, we've been helping you bring the fun home.
We're committed to protecting the health and safety of your family as we take care of your plumbing, AC, and electrical needs. As always, ABC is here for you. We realize how important it is to keep your home cool and running smoothly. So rest assured, your family will stay comfortable with an ultimate AC tune-up for just $89. Just $89 for peace of mind. Schedule at 4abc.com. That's the number 4abc.com. Consider it cool. Consider it safe. Consider it done.
A couple of weeks ago, John Williams and Orion Samuelson spoke with Jenny Jackson of the Illinois Pork Producers Association. Right now, because of COVID-19, local farmers have excess pigs that could go to waste. So the Illinois Pork Producers Association is collecting donations for their Pork Power program that'll be used to get pork into food banks. Now more than ever, we have hungry neighbors in need of protein. Listen to the podcast of their conversation at WGNradio.com/pork. That's WGNradio.com/pork. Be sure and check that out. All right, 720 WGN, Amy Guth in for, I was, thought there was going to be music. I don't know what I was waiting for.
Do you have the taps on your shoes or no, you're just tap dancing without the taps?
I'm just tap dancing without taps. So indeed, we are standing by waiting for a press briefing from the White House that, according to the White House website, was going to start
at noon,
28 minutes ago.
So what we think is, you know, he had said earlier he was going to talk about the procedures for reopening churches today.
That's right.
So this is fascinating. If he's going to, you know, after saying that it was up to the governors and then he went back to it's time to reopen and liberate and things like that, you know, the church conflict, we certainly see it here in Illinois, but it is elsewhere as well. And if he comes out and says it's time to let churches meet again, that certainly would be contrary to what the science experts are saying, unless he says that they should meet with great social distancing and things like that. But this could be another one of those days where the president comes in conflict with his own medical advisors when it comes to keeping this virus in check.
Certainly. And it seems like doing so would create a lot of stir with governors that he said, hey, this is on you to reopen your states or however you choose. That would feel a bit micromanaging, I would imagine.
Right. But the thing about Donald Trump is, you know, he's always known who his supporters are and he's always known how to foster support from those supporters. And a lot of them are evangelicals and churchgoers, and that probably would play well with him. I don't want to get too far ahead. We don't know what he's going to say. We don't even know if he's going to address the church issue here. But there certainly are every indication is that that is what he's going to go to.
Well, I'm like going to be in a kind of persnickety about timing here. Like, who knows what he's going to say? Maybe he's not even going to go today. Like, we're waiting, guy. Come on.
I wonder if this is just one of his things that he enjoys doing, because he often calls the press in hastily and then makes them stew.
yeah, that's a thing that he does.
I mean, we learned about this news conference about 10 to 12, I think, or quarter to 12. That it was going to happen at noon, and it still hasn't. So
yeah, it's the business lunch. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are on standby. Any minute, we're going to go live to a White House press briefing, and we will, of course, carry that for you and take you right to it the moment it starts. But while we're waiting, Tom Gimbel, CEO of LaSalle Network, joins us by phone. Tom, welcome back to the program. Always nice to talk with you.
Great to talk with you, Amy. I've been cut off by lesser people than the President of the United States, so
right, there
I'm
go.
Okay with that.
There you go. Thank you for having good humor about it. All right, well, so there's a lot to talk about. So in the meantime, while we're waiting for that press briefing, let's get into it. We, of course, cannot start talking about any sort of jobs report or jobs market outlook, any of that, without talking about jobless numbers. We've seen that crawling along and increasing every single week as that's coming out from the Labor Department. Although it did seem like it was less terrible this last week. It was a little bit smaller number than we had seen year over year. What are you watching most in that report and that data?
Well, the interesting thing is the segue and change from service and hospitality workers to white-collar workers. And as that increases, that's really the guys for the economy. And that's when we'll start to see when more companies are cutting white-collar workers, then I think you'll start to see a real dip in the stock market, which will mirror the high unemployment numbers.
Indeed. Just earlier, the New York Times had a piece about how much of these jobless numbers, how many of these jobs end up being recovered at some point later during recovery. And, you know, when we're looking at a possibility of, you know, 40-42% don't come back, that really, I'm sure, just sends panic through certain sectors of industry. What sector do you feel like is most in peril? I mean, I think in the immediate, it's probably hospitality industry, but in the white collar sector, what are your thoughts on, you know, the areas probably most at risk for having to pivot?
Well, the interesting dynamic is going to be usually are a leading indicator because companies need to increase revenue. But so much business that used to be done on the planes and getting salespeople were getting paid a lot of money for hazard pay, a.k.a. air travel, and not being home with their families at night, and that's going to change. So I think it's going to be a slower recovery than a lot of people anticipate. And on the hospitality side, what you're going to see is a slower recovery because of the increase of minimum wage that's been going on for a couple of years, that companies, restaurants, and retail stores can't hire back as many people as they would have if minimum wage were lower. So it's a real interesting dynamic.
So for people who are looking for work right now, I would imagine it's extremely frustrating. I know some people that have been impacted by furloughs and job loss and things like that. And they've expressed to me some hey, I need to get back to work. How do you do this? How do you even go about job searching during all of this? What is your advice for someone looking for work right away?
So I'm going to tell you two things. Number one, it goes to when you actually have an interview. Be very careful of giving your opinions on the political and economic climate because you don't know. It's so divided right now that you don't know how somebody on the other side is going to handle it or what their views are. So don't say, I think it's stupid that there's a quarantine, or I think it's great that there's a quarantine. Just, you know, stay neutral and talk about what the job is and that you want it. And remember, you can't turn down a job you've never been offered. So interview for as many jobs as possible, number one. Number two, you've got to make sure and control you're ready for. And that means have your resume up to date, even for service workers. Make sure that you have no typos. Make sure that it clearly illustrates everything that you've accomplished and did. And then you have to make sure that you get it in front of all the places that are applicable for you. The biggest challenge, Amy, is public transportation and whether people want to or not want to be on public transportation to get to work.
Sure. What about negotiating when you are out of work? I think a lot of times people use a job offer as like leverage with the boss. Hey, I won't leave if you pay me more. But if you're out of work and you're trying to negotiate a good salary, what leverage can you use in that negotiation with a prospective employer?
Amy, there's 35 million plus people unemployed. There is no negotiation. We went from 3.5% unemployment in an employee-driven market to 35 million unemployed in an employer-driven market. And so if you want a job, for the time being, it will change, but you've got to take a job doing something that you want to do or can do in the right location with a skill set that you'll be happy executing. And that's all there is to it. Once you're good at your job and you show a new employer what you can do, you have negotiation. But right now, you really don't.
And then what about virtual jobs, and how do you even go about trying to find those? I think there's still, I think a lot of companies are seem like they're trying to find their footing here. What does the future look like? What does our office space look like? Are more people going to work virtually? What if someone is looking for virtual work? How do you approach that?
Well, that's the really good news about this, is that if there is a ray of light, is that if it's virtual work for the foreseeable future, that means your job search isn't limited. Now, this doesn't work for restaurants and such, but in a white-collar business, that your job search isn't limited to a geographic radius of 30 or 45 or 60 miles. And that means you can apply for jobs all over the country that fit your skill set. The key is you've got to make sure that the jobs fit your skill set. And when you're throwing your resume up for anything that you're interested in, it really isn't going to fly. The other thing I would tell you, Amy, in regards to how to make sure you get a job, is talk to your references in advance. Make sure they're being honest with you about what you are good at, and ask them what you were not good at. And let them know you're looking so they can make sure that they're thinking about you when they're talking to potential companies as well.
That's a really good tip, because usually it's just, hey, by the way, I put your name on a thing as a reference, not really asking them for constructive feedback. I think that's a really, really excellent tip right there.
Amy, the majority of people will text or email their references asking them to be a reference, if they even ask at all, versus putting them down. We now live in an era of Zoom, of teleconferencing, of video conferencing, that you've got to have live conversations with people. Don't make it just about you. Make sure it's about what you can do to help somebody else. And then as you're talking to them, ask them, what do you think I could have done better when I worked for you, so I can express that in the right way during an interview? You're in a competition right now, and the deal is your livelihood. You better be ready.
Now, what about people who have just graduated from college right now and are just entering the labor market?
So I think that's a really unique situation, and they're going to be in a little bit of a tough time. And so what I would do, if you don't have a job yet and you're graduating from college, is you've got to, A, expand your job search to work in other cities and other states. And you may have more of an opportunity if you're willing to relocate, because there are states that have very little effect from COVID-19. More states west of the Mississippi River and east of California. And so those states are going to be able to have more traditional jobs that you can get. And what you're looking to do now is build resume experience. The number one question that companies are going to be asking candidates is, what were you doing when you were unemployed? What did you do after graduation during COVID-19? And you have to be able to sell a story to a potential employer, and you need to be able to be flexible. But that's the biggest difference between the now and the Great Depression, is that then the government wasn't paying people not to work. Then you were going out and you were selling apples on the corner for a dime, you were doing construction work, and it was a very different mentality than it is today.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Now, what about the worker who is not, who still has a job, but is maybe fearing like, I don't know what the future holds. I think I might be at risk here. How do you, I don't want to say, you know, recession-proof your job, because that's kind of impossible, but what do you do now so that if the axe does fall, if you in fact are unemployed, you can move really quickly? What can you get out ahead of?
Well, I think there's two sides to that, Amy. Number one, if you're currently working for a company, it may be a good time to move to another company. And what I mean by that is, You just don't know where you stand. And I think there's a lot to be said for loyalty. And like my company, LaSalle Network, we haven't laid off a soul. And so I think if you've got that type of situation, you're in a really healthy environment. But if your company, like you were inferring, has already done a round of layoffs or a second round of layoffs, number one, you've got to make sure that you're communicating with your boss via email and voice of summarizing what you're doing. If you are underutilized, if there is time at the end of the day and you got nothing going on, you have to speak up and ask for more to tackle, and or have the initiative to find it. And then lastly, you need to cross train. You need to really be talking about your manager and saying, I love this company and I want to learn some other roles to add value. Because if they're going to cut somebody, they're not going to cut the person who can do more roles than less.
Always tons of good points. Thank you so much, Tom Gimbel, CEO of LaSalle Network. Always a pleasure to talk with you. Really appreciate it. Thanks, you too. All right, it is time now for the Wintrust Business Minute. Here's Steve Bertrand.
Wind the clock. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, your daily roundup of Chicago area business news. The cost of electricity is dropping. Crane says the price for power that ComEd buys for its customers will be down 10% from June through September. The rates are expected to go back to normal after that, at least until next May. Deerfield-based Walgreens president is leaving after just a few months after taking charge. He will run the company behind South Beach Diet. And here's an innovation that may or may not be needed. Revolution Brewing is stuck with kegs of Anti-Hero IPA because of the restaurant closures, so it's partnered with the company that makes Malort to create Malort made with beer. It goes on sale today. I'm Steve Bertrand. That's the Wintrust Business Minute.